I would like to thank IDS, Design MM Talks, Modanus, ASID, and NKBA. I am so grateful. I'm a member of those three trade organizations, and I've met so many friends and had so many opportunities because of them. I really encourage you to make friends in the industry, because it's nice to have friends and not do everything in a vacuum. And it's a challenge to try to do everything on your own. And you really don't have to. That's what we're talking about today, design collaboration. So we wanted to give you a definition for creative collaboration. The collaboration is a practice whereby individuals work together for a common purpose to achieve a business benefit. And for us, creative collaboration means enabling design professionals the ability to work together to achieve, align, and define very powerful relationships that will help build trust and create significant revenue streams. And also, might I add, they cover you. I'm here joined today with Manos Zacharias, my custom cabinet maker, my design associate, Stephanie Polson, and our plumbing supplier, Sean Rollins, who owns Abe's Discount Plumbing back home in Modesto, and they are really the bedrock of my business. Without them, without their professional eyes on things, I could never accomplish the work that I do, and I'd like for you to be able to try it too, because again, a vacuum is not fun. Okay. Oh. No. See? Okay. How do you find the right people? I am often asked at trade shows, how do you find the right people? How do you know who to work with? How do you find a good contractor? Do you know of a good plumbing guy? What about your cabinet guy? You kind of learn that over time, but what I have found is if you listen very carefully to, let's say you find a contractor and you're really getting along great, and he has a subcontractor, a cabinet guy, for example, which is how I met Manos, and he performs really well and his team is super respectful and very clean in the environment, you make a note, you hang on to his information, and he becomes your cabinet guy. When the contractors that you work with round the clock say, oh, Wendy, please, please work with Sean. He's so easy. I can't stand doing this other way. Then you march yourself down with the contractors who've recommended him. They introduce you, you shake hands, and you get to do a lot of beautiful work together. The point of this collaboration is to eliminate exasperation, eliminate mistakes, because you can't know everything, but in their specialties, they do. And then your practice rises and your reputation increases and you get more work. A rising tide lifts all boats. I like to say that a lot because with the group that I have been so grateful to work with, I'm not going to say I assembled this team, because I feel like these people really were gifted to me, to be honest. And you get a feeling for that as you work with people. If they resonate with you, if their attention to detail is the way that you have, your level of attention to detail, if they value honesty and integrity in pricing and product the way you do. So you kind of come together and you create this huge team of experts and they help you navigate projects. So if I have a challenge that I need to meet, I know exactly who to go to. And if it includes another contractor, they can visit and talk because they've become friends over the years too, because we're all on the same team. So everyone is talking together and making good choices and solving problems. Sorry. Did it work? Okay. Once you've assembled your team, how do you build a true network? I know we've all seen the best of people and the worst of people in this industry. And I was on a panel the other day with Laura Moeller from 4 Point Design, and she has like a behavioral code of conduct that she puts in her contract. But essentially, working together as a team, knowing that you can't succeed unless you have each other, and modeling integrity and respect to each team member, to the client, etc., it starts to set a tone for all of your projects. And you immediately elevate yourself in terms of professionalism and performance team-wide that is unmatched in any other regard. One thing that's very important is that we do require respect for all. Something happened recently with Stephanie and me. Somehow I was duped, and I didn't realize that this potential client was actually a real schmo. And he didn't pay the contractor's bill. So the contractor doesn't work for free, packed up his tools, and left for the day because he'd had multiple opportunities to pay the bill. The schmo called me on the phone and talked to me for 45 minutes about how he was a retired litigator and you didn't want to get in a fight with him because he always wins and you don't want somebody to get sued because that would be very uncomfortable. And went on and on and on and asked me, demanded that I correct my contractor and oversee the project from that point. So I listened, hung up the phone, asked the contractor if he'd come back if he were paid like he should have been. And he said, of course. So I called the schmo back and said, yes, our contractor will return just as soon as you have paid him. And he said, great, what did he say? And I said, what? What do you mean? When you corrected him, I want to know what he said. And I said, I don't correct my guys, I protect my guys. And I've never heard anyone ever respond well to correction from me via a client. Have you? And he kind of chuckled and he let it go. But that's the kind of thing, like you never want to let a moment or a single client break up the team. Because your longevity and success in the business is a lot more important over the long run than that one single moment when you might be panicking. So if you know in your mind, I will always go to bat for my people, you've set that tone in your head, and then you won't freak out and worry and make a snap decision that you regret. You can tell it still makes me really mad. I should have worn blue. Yeah, no more schmoes. Goodness. Yeah, it did. It made me upset. Okay, so a little bit more about that. When you build a united front, it's almost like you're a parent. And this is not to talk down to clients. It's just about project management. You have a united front. The client comes to one or another of a subcontractor and makes a comment and is unhappy or something goes wrong on the project. You sidebar, talk together as a team, and decide how as a team you want to approach it. In this beautiful kitchen, that's a Dekton countertop and a Miele sink. And Sean dealt with our customer in a very tender and loving and patient way because it took so many times trying to find the perfect sink because we wanted to use Dekton. And as many of you know, Dekton is an ultra-compact surface, and you can't cut it at a very strategic, very tiny, precise angle. And you have to be very careful. So Sean really talked her through that whole thing, which saved me a lot of time. And he is the expert. So I would have only been calling him to figure it out and probably translated it improperly. So he really saved us on this project. It's important to stand in the shoes of your contractors and subcontractors and give them really clear information in a way that they like to receive it. So I like to, you know, speak, draw, write, whatever, it doesn't bother me. But many of you may have experienced contractors who really like to see a picture. And they may or may not read much, which is fine, but just find the way that works the best for them. A lot of times, like when Manos and I and Stephanie are working on a custom kitchen, we all just sit down together at the table when the drawings are done. We don't email back and forth constantly. There's not a lot of phone calls. At the very end, we sit down together at the table and talk through all the details, because sometimes face-to-face is actually more efficient. And you might think about it because it provides an atmosphere for problem solving that otherwise might not be as easy to achieve. Oh, see? Huh? Okay. Another thing that I have found is very important in securing that team so you can really collaborate well is answering the phone. A lot of people don't like to answer the phone. And I'm sure there's all kinds of reasons for that. But if you're a contractor or you're a subcontractor or someone who's working on a project with you calls you, unless you're in the middle of a brand new consultation with a client for like an hour, I really advise that you pick up the phone. Because if you do, their question will be answered and the project will continue with momentum. But if you don't, and you forget that they called, and time goes by, or maybe a couple of them, you can see they're all nodding. It just delays and delays and delays and delays, and then you're not as efficient. And then also, if you answer the phone, they know that they're important to you, that you'll drop everything and answer the phone. And really, you're only as good as your team. I mean, I can think of all kinds of wild stuff in my mind, but without Manos and Stephanie and Sean, I mean, it's a nice dream, but please don't put a hacksaw in my hand because I'll lose my leg. I mean, we all have our skills and abilities, and we really do need each other. That's pretty much the same thing. Okay, so after you've worked with your subcontractors and the people that source things for you, like, so there's two different ways to think about this. Manos is a subcontractor. He provides all my cabinets for me. He built this lovely cabinet. Oop. And Sean is a retailer and he does plumbing. So once you've worked with them, established that layer of trust, that kind of common bond, you've worked together for a while, and you've pushed some level of volume through their shops on a significant level. You don't just waltz in and say, I'm a designer, and I would love to work with you, and I would like this, that, and the other in return for my business. Prove yourself first. Actions speak louder than words. Bring them real value first. Once you've done that, you can say, I've noticed in the past year, my bookkeeper and I have been paying attention and I've moved X amount of thousands of dollars through your shop or through your cabinet company or through your lighting retailer situation. I was wondering, would you be open to a discussion about outside sales commission? Do I bring enough value to you to honor that in some way that will help my bottom line, my business, and my child go to college? And usually, people will be open to that. Now, everybody has a different margin. Plumbing, the margins are like this, and any of you who are in plumbing know that. Lighting, like LED lighting, recess trims, things like that, teeny tiny margin. Light fixtures, there's an opportunity. Cabinets, there's an opportunity. So you want to respect them and their business model. Never over ask and understand how they need to make money. But you can also ask to be a part of that and further elevate your team, because words are cheap and actions speak much louder than words. So if I am pushing business through your company at a rate of, you know, 6, 10, 15 kitchens or bathrooms a year, it's worth it to them on some level. So it's also worth a conversation. In this picture, how many revenue streams do you think there are? Anybody? Serena? Five? Cabinets? The mirror and the lighting? The countertop? The glass? The painter? If they do window coverings? If they furnish their master bedroom with furniture? Etc. Accessories? So it's really limitless in terms of how much value you can return to yourself, but not impact the bottom line or the advertised resale price for the client. That's key. Another thing that happens when you really learn to collaborate in a respectful way is that, I think I mentioned this before, but if you run across a real problem, you can problem solve together. In this particular kitchen, we needed to figure out how to hang a quartz hood from the ceiling. And we had to do a steel cage and reinforcement and bring electrical through it and work within the trusses. It took 4 trades to get that right. But they all knew each other because we'd all been a team for quite a long time. So we all went together and figured it out together. So everybody walked away with a very clear understanding of what we needed to accomplish that. No one felt like they were being dictated to. Everyone felt at peace about their part of the project and getting it done. So you don't have to wander around with that feeling. Do you guys know that feeling that you're like, I got to get this done and I don't know how and it seems very complicated. I don't know who to call and what's going to happen. But if you have a great team and you really take care of each other, that level of anxiety is mitigated. Again, never tolerate bad behavior. I'm going to say that over and over because it's really true. You're going to have your team for years. You're going to have a client for 6 months to 18 months, sometimes 2 years. Treating your team well models that for your client. And then you get to keep your friends and your colleagues. And that's really, really key. Again, you can explore that commission structure at that point. In this kitchen, we can talk about what was made. This was a new build. It was a 5,000 square foot house. But this kitchen, the hours, the time, the design that went into this, probably $6,500. The commission off cabinets, countertops, light fixtures, hardware, furniture, was approximately half of that. So you can see how instantly the way that you can make money is increased without owning every part. And by that I mean, I live in California. If I'm gonna be the receiver for all my plumbing, lighting, furniture, tile, countertops, hardware, I need to have a huge warehouse. And I need to employ warehouse staff. And I need a huge, huge truck. And workers' comp, and a mod, and everything else. But I still will never know what Manos knows about cabinets. I will never know what Sean knows about plumbing. So I'm taking on the burden of all of this. And to many of these manufacturers, I'm a one and done because I'm a designer. And I know this is probably not very popular in the industry to say, but I was at a kind of a high level meeting for a major furniture production space in High Point. And we were at a dinner, and I was there with a retailer who pushes, I don't know, 150, 350, 500 sofas out of this particular manufacturer's sofas a year. And he had known the sales guys there forever. And he kind of forgot I was there because it's dinner, it's High Point, people are having cocktails. And he said, those darn desecrators come in here at High Point, want to buy one sofa, take all my time. They're taking food out of my kids' mouths, and I don't want to spend time with them. And although people are becoming much more friendly to designers, and there are a lot of manufacturers who want to work with us, there are those who don't. And if you are a one and done, and you don't have the kind of volume that Sean has, and you don't have the kind of volume that Manos has, they'd really rather not deal with you. Also, you may or may not know the level of detail that these gentlemen have. So it's another layer of protection for you, and it takes off more of the anxiety. It's just a different way of doing business, but I have found it to be very valuable. Okay, one more fun little project to find out how much money you can make on a kitchen with commission. Okay, cabinets, Cabinet Hardware, which our lighting supplier sells, and also, Sean, lighting, slabs, etc. This was a master bath. It was about an $85,000 master bath. We used all marble slabs and book matched them all. We needed like five slabs. And the design fees on this were about $3,500. And the commission structure on this project matched that because of the level of material that we put into the space. So you can see again how this really pays off. But it also makes sure that you're not alone in the world. Stephanie and I were talking about it at breakfast this morning. I said, I just want to communicate to everybody how much the team means, how much I love them. I want people to experience the kind of relief that I get to have because I get to work with people like this every day. And she said, Wendy, it's like, do you want to go to a party by yourself? Or do you want to take your best friends? And that really is true. I mean, I don't want to embarrass them, but it means a lot to have people that I can count on all the time. This is a kitchen that Manos did for me. We used some antique windows, and he built all the cabinetry. I'm sorry. It's not my shtick. Thank you. In addition, also I'm terribly klutzy, you don't want me on a construction site. How else can you add value to your friends, to your vendors, to your subcontractors? Because to me, just bringing them the business isn't enough. I want to elevate them. Again, a rising tide lifts all boats, right? So whenever we do finished photography, I share my photography with my team, and they can use it. I tag them in everything I do on social. I write for a local little magazine, a lifestyle magazine, and everybody waits for the magazine to come out to see what new big project's gonna be in the magazine. I list them, their phone numbers and contact information in every issue. And although they would tell you right now they're not terribly thrilled, I do haul them along to national events like KBiz to tell the world how much I love them and how important they are to me. So there's a huge amount of give back. It's not just financial. It's how do you feel when you wake up in the morning? I know Manos is going to handle this. I know I asked Sean about that. I know they had to handle it. I can take good news back to the client. I have a solution that's going to work because experts are talking to me about it all the time. So anyway, not to gush and go on and on, but make friends with the people that you work with all the time because your life will be much better and you can show up to the party with a team like a VIP, which is what you all love anyway because you're designers and it's a lot of fun to have great people around you and keep your energy up. But we would like to open it up for questions if you have any. Serena. And you were going to do that. Oh, I can do that.
Sorry. Thank you, guys. I'm curious how long ago you started this like commission structure and what's the most you've made in a year?
Oh, thank you. High five figures just in commission every year.
What?
High five figures in commission alone every year. That's built up over time and trust. I started doing this 5 years ago, probably. I had to earn his trust first. you know, like, don't sashay in and ask, but after you pushed things through. So yeah, about 5 years. It didn't start at high five figures, but as I could prove my value to people that I work with on the daily, the opportunity got greater and greater. Yes?
Hi. Hi, my name is Christy. I'm wondering if you go for this outsell commission structure, so how do you charge your client? You only charge a design fee. So if they purchase like a cabinet and all of the plumbing is all through your team, that's... yes. the commission.
So the way that I set this up now, and it really actually, this, the one helpful thing that came out of the pandemic for me was on the very first phone call, the discovery call before you decide to go out for a consultation, I say to the prospective client, I only work with certain vendors in my area because I can trust them. And the pandemic taught me I can't trust other ones. And then I give them the list and I say, you'll buy everything directly. cabinets sometimes fall under the purview of the general contractor. I try not to muddy anybody's water. I was taught that early on by my friend Marriott Bedrosians. But they will buy the lighting package from the lighting retail store, the plumbing package from Sean, the flooring package from our flooring vendor. And then they just record that, and my bookkeeper tracks it, and then we true up once every quarter. So it's pretty efficient. And then also, because they're purchasing directly from the supply people, they know exactly who to call should anything arise that they need help with. And then they have a trusted friend to go to. You don't have to get online and wait for 17 hours with terrible hold music and hope somebody answers the phone. Oh, I think she asked, what if they want to go out on their own and purchase in the future? I'm not that territorial. I don't think that was me. I work very hard not to go to that space in my mind. I'm there with a client for a time. If they loved it and want to continue with me, I'd love to continue with them. But if they want to go out and do little things on their own, I am not fussy about that. I want them to feel comfortable and I want them to trust me. And I feel like if I lit up about that, that would not create an atmosphere of trust. Anybody?
Yes.
Hi.
So one question, because over the last... Okay, is this better? Okay. Over the one question I have just on your building process. So you're referring... That's better. That's too loud. So you don't do any of your own purchasing for your lighting or your tile. You just run that all through the retail and get the commission. So you all that headache of tracking, because I've been tracking all those orders.
Receivers, white glove, delivery, returns, damage is all handled by the respective umbrella spaces. Plumbing, lighting, flooring, all the warranty stuff all goes through our flooring supplier and installer.
Okay.
It's a totally different way. But here's the thing. There's always a cost, right? What is the opportunity cost for you if you want to hold it all on yourself? Is it worth the money you're going to make to hold it all on yourself? Or is it better to have friends and go to a party? I choose the friends and the party. And then everyone gets to celebrate. When we're done with a beautiful project, everyone is excited, everyone benefits, everyone has made money, and everyone gets to move on together to the next beautiful project. Yes. He's right. Sorry.
My question is, do you also charge for the implementation or project management phase of the project?
Yes. So we do bill on an hourly basis. It's all put together in a contract in advance. Most of the expense of the project is done up front. We do all the planning, all the finish sheets, drawings, etc. And then we do walk with the contractor through the process, and we are available for homeowners to call and have chats about things. But most of their investment level is up front. But we don't abandon them, and we don't abandon our friends. So, are there other questions? Yes. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I'm just wondering when you feel comfortable to ask for that commission. Like, I know you said that you sort of look and see that you've spent a certain amount of money, but like, is that $5,000 or $15,000? When do you feel you can approach that person? Because I did have someone the other day that was a vendor who kind of asked me right off the bat, and I was like, whoa, where's your value? So I understand that. But like, where is that point where you're like, I feel it's okay to ask now?
I think Manos and I had done 4 bathrooms and 2 kitchens, so we had a really fluid working relationship. My lighting designer and lighting showroom people took me a lot longer. They're very, very old school, and they're very, very good at what they did, but I really had to prove my worth. It actually reminds me of, like, this might be dating myself, but anybody remember Pretty Woman? When she went shopping and no one would help her because she was no one. That happened to me for like 3 years, but they were the only local people and I didn't want to give up. I was determined to make them my friends, which may be my bad, probably looking back if we're talking about emotional boundaries, but eventually they gave in because I sold a solid $50,000 at one point through their showroom in a year. And that's when I said, okay, I've been coming to you for a long time. Let's do that. I would really caution you, though, if you are a vendor or a retailer and a designer approaches you and says, do you do a designer discount? Mm-mm. Let's see what you have first and what you bring to the table. Because it needs to have integrity for everyone, and everyone needs to be comfortable. Demands are not acceptable. Serena.
I have a couple of questions, actually. One person asked, like, how do you actually pay commission and how do you track it? So as Manos or Sean, how do you do that? Do you have a code for her or how does that work? How do you track the business that Wendy is bringing to you so that you can account for her commission?
That's kind of putting you on the spot.
After I give the proposal, we talk about what she wants, and I just put it on the...
It's kind of project-based for Manos.
Okay.
Lighting showroom, it's a set percentage. Flooring, set percentage. Furniture, because they have a great contract with Norwalk, set percentage. Plumbing, much tighter, much, much tighter margins. So really my value with Sean is to be able to know that I can specify everything and it won't fall apart and it'll be perfect, which to me, the peace of mind is fantastic. So again, you kind of have to respect the business model of each vendor that you're working with and find a way to see the value for both of you in that.
Okay.
So it does vary project to project.
And then do you set the terms as the designer, as like a payout schedule or monthly, quarterly, that sort of thing, or does the vendor do that for you?
We kind of arrived at it together depending on the vendor. So my lighting supplier does it quarterly, furnishings and accessories quarterly. Manos and I just kind of do it project by project because we're always talking anyway. So it is, like, you just have to be fluid and be respectful of how everybody does their business. If you ask them to change how they do business for you completely, that's not really fair or respectful. It doesn't fall into the category of integrity and collaboration much. So, yes. Oh, he's coming behind. Oh, hi. Oh,
hi.
Okay, hi.
So, very good question. That was asked. And then one thing about how do you track your hours when you're trying to design, manage, and all of that? How do
I used to cry a lot trying to track my hours. And on Sundays, once a month, I'd sit up in my little home office with a tiny window that made me terribly depressed. And I'd sit there with QuickBooks and have a total mental meltdown. And my husband and my son would stay far away. And then I went to Las Vegas Market. I met this fantastic woman named Risa. And she told me all about House Pro and their time tracker. And you just type it in at the end of every day what you did. And it takes like 2 seconds. And then you don't lose time. Because if you don't write it down right away, inevitably you'll forget some time that you spent. And then you get paid. It's that easy. Oh, Luann! For business coaching and a lot of the things that I learned as I was trying to come up and figure things out, you really, if you could listen to the well-designed podcast, Luann Nayera, Out of This World, she's actually the one that convinced me to hire a bookkeeper because she did a show and I just thought, oh, other people hate it as much as me. I'm not alone in the world, so I don't have to be embarrassed and force myself into being like, I don't know, the princess of numbers. I can give this to someone who loves numbers and likes to dream about numbers. So I found a fantastic bookkeeper / CPA, and she takes care of it. Thank God. Anybody else? Oh, you had a question?
Are markups part of your income stream? Like, are you getting a designer discount and marking up and also the commission, or is the commission the
Yeah, the way
stream?
I started, now that I've started doing this all the time with regular people on the team, I mean, I sell by myself wallpaper, fabric sometimes, if I recover a sofa. But I really have so much more fun sharing it with everyone else. It's not worth it to me like it used to be. And I do it, and I do proposals in House Pro, and that's super easy. So I don't cry anymore about that either. But yeah, it's really taken a huge burden off. That opportunity cost has really, really come down. And the enrichment and professionalism and the integrity of the team has gone way, way up. Other questions? Yes. I'm not allowed to do it. Sorry.
Into it, right? Right into it? Okay. So when I was a flooring vendor once upon a time, I had contracts written for my designers for their commissions. Uh-huh. So it never affected the price of the material for the end user, but it determined the backside what percentage they would get, because we were on a sliding scale depending on if the material was on sale when they purchased it versus for retail. So
yes.
Do you have contracts with all of your vendors that you get commission on? Mine is probably mine.
Yeah, yeah. yes and no. If there are larger companies and I just work very, very closely with a specific sales individual, yes, because it's a larger company. But a lot of the smaller companies, it's a handshake. And I think some of them really like that. And it was only a handshake because I've already worked with them for 5 years before I ever, because I was little before and didn't do a ton, and I was learning. So by the time I approached them, the relationship was so strong already that I know it's old-fashioned, and Luann's probably just, anyway. You can tell if I tell you I'll do something, I will. I mean, I'm not very crafty. So, and the people that I love to work with are like me, but probably more professional and put together. So, usually we're good. Anybody else? Yes, hi.
Hi there. Mike.
It's intimidating.
Hi.
Hi.
So how do you decipher your workable hours? Like, if you're working like a 10-hour day on a project, but, you know, not all those hours straight are
right.
What you're working for that client. Or, like, say, what if you're shopping, but you're, like, shopping for two different jobs or something like that? Like, how do you kind
figure
of stop
that out
and go, yeah?
A great example is when Stephanie and I go together to San Francisco to source specific things. I try to collect a bunch of clients that I'm going to do that for, so they share the burden of the travel time, and I break it up that way. And then we pretty much keep track in our little notes and our phones. Oh, we were in Cravat for so-and-so, and we were in Fabricat for so-and-so, and we were at Hewn for so-and-so, and just write that down. Or artistic tile, because we love Paul there a lot. He's wonderful. So then when we get home, we just stick it in House Pro, and that's it. So you could just do a little quick note in your phone. Like, oh, we had so much fun at Cravat. That was a good 45 minutes for so-and-so. 45, blah, blah, blah. Try not to let it go, though, because then you'll lose time and money, and it's so painful to sit down and try and do it. Like, when several days have been collected, and then you look back at your calendar, and you think, oh, yeah, I did that, or, oh, we took care of this thing. It's kind of hard. Does that help? Hello? Oh, and sorry. One sec. We'll come right back. Don't let me forget.
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering how you approach trade people at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I just relocated from city, so I had my people, and
yeah.
Now I'm somewhere else. So what's the best way to cultivate that team? When you're kind of like, do you approach
right.
them? Do you, I don't know.
Well, for me, like, there were gaps. I didn't have a great shower door glass guy, and I needed one. And Sean does plumbing, so he told me, call so-and-so, and he does a great job. So I, and like with lighting, so my lighting showroom, they know all the great electricians, and they know, they've kind of gotten to know me, so they know like what's the personality fit. And even if they don't know you real well, but you say, oh, I'm a new designer, I'm in town, I'd love someone that I can work with who's collaborative, those words, those vocabulary words cue them up to know the kind of person that you want to work with, and then they can give you names. Even at the tile store or at a really great slab place, like we love Pacific Shores, they're so sweet, and Lisa is our manager, and she's amazing. So if I'm really under the gun, I don't work like this anymore, but back along without all the friends that I have now, if I was like, who can I trust to use, you know, to put in this very brittle quartzite, she'd say, oh, so-and-so is great. Here's his number. So it's really a, like, go out and make buddies with the people who do the things that you need in a way that are somehow related, and then they'll help you get to know a new team. Yes. She's right here. I'm sorry, you won't let me, because it'll make a terrible sound.
How do you keep the lines of communication open between your client and your vendors? So, for example, if you're giving your client the list of your vendors, your cabinet guy, your lighting person, your plumbing person, and the client goes directly to the cabinet guy and says, I want to make a change here and here, and you know, and then they go to the lighting person and say, I'm changing out all the lighting, and we decided this last night, and then how do you keep that open where you're now in the loop? Yeah, how do you keep that open where you're in charge now? That to me would be
Wendy,
the most
confusing.
How do
you stay in charge?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really give them much access. Usually, when Stephanie and I have put together a presentation, she does these beautiful finish sheets. We've already specified all the lighting, cabinetry, we've done the drawings, we've done everything sourced based on what the client has said they want. We show them the whole presentation, they give us feedback, we adjust, then we go back to our vendors and ask them to prepare quotes or invoices, and then we say, you may call them on the phone and put down a deposit. On the rare occasion when we have wildly enthusiastic clients who want to get into everything, I used to get upset, but it doesn't really happen that much anymore because of the way that we do this now. So when it does, a lot of times it's their personality, and there's not a lot I can do about it. I will call Sean and Manos on the phone and say, heads up, so-and-so is coming in. They can't make a decision. Please steer them to this, and then it's over. So that's like the sidebar thing, and just always chatting with them about how things are going and what we need and what's going on with the client. And it's really helped mitigate some of that from going on. They're on speed dial mostly. Guys, you're never going to believe what happened today. And so-and-so may call you, and just be ready. See, look at he knows. I'm telling the truth. Do you have other questions? Good. And I'll just kind of float around a little bit afterward if you want to ask any other questions. But I really appreciate you giving us this time. Thank you so much for your support of Nobilia, of Bodanus, and DMM Talks. It's just kind of fun to listen to people who are in the industry, so you're not in a vacuum and you have other ways to think about doing things. So, and of course, you can always reach out to me. I'm on Instagram at Wendy Glaister Interiors. So you can DM me, whatever. We're all friends. We're coming to the party together. It's going to be great.